Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Your Health is Your Choice. My name is Sarah Troy, and my guest, third time repeat, every single show is a mindful of information, is Dr. Timothy Teal. And what we're going to be talking about today is EFT. Well, what is EFT? It is Emotional Freedom Technique. It is tapping. And ENT clinic for patients experiencing paradoxical movement of vocal cords, inability to swallow pills, intractable head and neck pain. His staff members took an interest in the dramatic fast results of this technique, and they themselves became EFT practitioners and helped teach EFT to in the clinic. Today, Dr. Teo teaches EFT on his website with his weekly EFT tapping sessions, and his former medical assistant, Ashley Stander, who has become the doc of Unlock, tapping specialist. He uses EFT as one of the many tools to help online course students overcome trauma, autoimmune disease, and as a tool for cancer patients to treat emotional conditions while healing recovery can occur. We've talked about so much in the past. Please go back and have a look at all the shows that we've done together, and the journey from becoming your nose and throat specialist into taking on these modalities and looking at things as a different way of treating a patient, which didn't go down well in the medical industry. But the more and more he opened up to what else was out there, the more and more he realized there are so many more answers other than just popping a pill or cutting something out. So welcome back, Dr. Tim.
Oh, it's good to be back, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me back. We were talking just before the show. It's so refreshing, so nice, and so comforting to be in the company of other people where it's okay to talk about some of these strange things. They're strange only because we can't necessarily measure them and we can't weigh them. And yet the most powerful part of who we are can't be weighed and can't be measured. I always pose the question to people, what's the volume of a thought? How much does love weigh? Yeah. Right? I had a guy limp out of my office one day when he answered that question. He said, I know exactly how much love weighs. He leaned forward, patted his wife on the knee and said, 180 pounds just this morning. Not exactly what I was trying to get at, but I get it.
Doctor, I mean, it's a step in the right direction, right?
It truly is.
But, let's talk about that for a moment, because Qigong, which you do, EFT, Reiki, any of these modalities that are really what they're doing is manipulating energy. Right?
Right.
And we're right. All energy. And energy isn't just at the end of a cord, folks. It's not something you plug into the grid. We are energy. Energy is what gets everything going. It's how we move. All the fiber optics that are connected to the brain that tell your arm to do this and arm to do that, the oxygen in your blood system and the energy that runs through your body is what is keeping you going. It's also the energy you put out there, be it positive or negative. It's also the energy that you receive back. And all these modalities that you're using is just a way to conduct that energy in a purposeful manner.
True. If we laid two cables side by side and ran electricity through one and had no electricity running through the other and weighed those cables, they both weigh the same thing.
Yes.
Okay. What's moving through them that has the power to energize, electric lights and has the same power to kill you doesn't weigh anything because it's moving through. And honestly, I've kind of come to the conclusion that the reason that that all of this energy stuff is so it's so hard for people to grasp is that no, it can't be weighed and it can't be measured, but no,
Can be felt.
but more than, yeah, it can be felt, exactly.
Yes.
And no, and it can be felt in the form of emotion, but no, and the reason that it's so difficult to find is that I believe it's a language, and we've talked some about this before. Language is powerful, words are powerful because words carry the an implication of some emotion. Emotion is the common language of everybody on the planet, but there is more behind the emotion. There's emotional energy behind that expressed emotion. And when we understand that emotional energy behind that expressed emotion, now you understand the language of our very spirits themselves. I'm 100% convinced that the expression of our emotion is our spirit speaking. And
Yes.
the energy behind that, that spirit speaking is the spirit itself. People know this intuitively, but it's hard to really wrap your head around it until I've spent a lot of time thinking about this in meditation and what's really going on here. It's a language.
Yes.
It is a language all its own, and it has rules, and it has patterns, and it has characteristics. And when we honor the rules, patterns, and characteristics of our natural language, and consciously start to manipulate it, stuff that's not supposed to happen starts to happen.
Yes,
And
yes.
things aren't miracles as much as they are an understanding of the energy that is us. We feel that you can feel that energy. I mean, if anybody has done any Qigong or felt qi, I was at a since the last time that we talked, I was at a barbecue with a former colleague of mine. He has, I believe he's got some Chinese background, and he said, we were talking about some of these things, and he said, people have been talking about qi forever, and I said, well, have you ever felt qi? And he said, no. And I said, stand up, and I'll teach you what qi feels like, and we did the exercise where we just bounce and shake our hands, and I said, we did it for about 10 seconds. And I said, do you feel anything? He said, no. I said, great, keep going. And this time we did it for about 20, 30 seconds, and had him shake his hands. And I said, did you feel that tingling in your fingers? He said, yes. And I said, what is that, Mr. Medical Man? He said, I don't know. And I said, I do. It's called qi. You just felt it now. Okay. He's like, wow, I never knew. It's because
We
you're
don't
just
talk
playing off the
about it,
script. Well, you've been
right?
playing off the
Yeah,
script of
exactly.
Western medicine for so long that we've practically bred this out of you. But
Yes.
there's a lot more that we can't see, that we can't measure. One of the greatest instructors that I had while I was in my residency program, he was an ear surgeon in Delaware, and he took me aside one day, and he said, because he could tell I'm wired up a little different. He said, Tim, he said, don't let anybody kid you. He said, there is so much more about these bodies that we don't understand, how they function, what they do, why they do what they do. He said, there is so much more that we don't understand than what we do understand. And he said, and if anyone tells you any different, run away from them. They are dangerously deluded. And he was absolutely right. What he didn't tell me was that if you go to looking around for some of those answers, that you would be shunned, that you would
Yes.
be ridiculed, that you would be excluded from the economic side of medicine, that you would be fired, that you would be blacklisted, that things that aren't even legal would be done to you. I know now, okay,
Yes.
that in fact that does happen, and it happens because to be perfectly honest with you, and this is brutally honest, it doesn't fit the cash flow model of
Exactly.
Western medicine that is built around, and nobody tells you this. And had I known this, I never would have been in medicine, period. But no, it, we our entire cash flow system is built around managing problems, not solving them,
Repeat business.
managing them.
Yeah.
And it's done on purpose because The assumption is that people, simply will not do the work that, that's required to adjust their diet, to take on emotional issues as what they are. But honestly, despite that that lack of understanding, it's now become a willing thing. And now we're punishing people who find solutions to problems that other people are being paid to manage. And man, that'll make you unpopular in a heartbeat. I
Yeah,
know it
don't piss
happened.
off Big Pharma, right? Because they're the
Well,
ones that are the conductors, right?
it's not just Big Pharma. Those people are so big and so far away from it. This extends all the way down to the last paycheck. Big Pharma controls that what's taught in the medical schools. It controls all of this stuff, and that's conveyed all the way through the practice, all the way down to the individual practitioner who is building a business model around managing problems and not finding solutions to
Yeah.
them. And so, I have a tremendous amount of respect for my colleagues. I know the price that they've paid. I know the price that I paid in order to complete that medical education system. There are wonderful things that we can do in medicine.
But it's not everything.
It isn't everything, not by the not by
And
a
if we
long stretch.
really
And
look at the, Hippocratic Oath, it is to serve your patient, right? To heal your patient. And that means,
do
by
no
all
harm.
means, do no harm.
That
So,
is do no harm.
if drugs are doing the harm, which, you see these, take this drug, the side effects are, and the side
Right.
effects are 4 times longer than the quote healing of the issue. And it's a, you're curing one and creating others. Well, that's what they want, because now they've got a drug for that as well. And
Right.
so
Well, that's
keeps
that that's
everybody in
exactly
business.
that's exactly what I spent most of my time doing, the last several years of my practice. I started to recognize that, a lot of those drug reactions actually wind up affecting the mucosa of your nose, your mouth, and your throat. And over and over and over again, I'm playing toxicologist, trying to figure out what medication is causing these lesions. We want to make sure that it's not a cancer that's growing in there, and
Right.
so we biopsy them. And the second move that we would make is start taking drugs off. Boy, that makes you real unpopular in a hurry. Trying to find the solution that we caused in the first place. So no. Anyway, we can talk about that. I don't want to be a hater on Western medicine. It provided me a good living for a while.
Well, and
But
it's a, and it has its place. 100
exactly.
percent, it has its place, but it's got to understand it's not the only place in town,
Right.
right? I
It's
mean,
not, it's time, honestly, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you and all of your listeners out there, is that it's time to move forward.
exactly.
It's time to start recognizing, number one, that the food that we eat has a tremendous effect on our bodies. It interacts with our immune system. In many cases, it makes us immunocompromised. It causes chronic inflammation. There are many, many things that do that, and many of them are inexpensive, good tasting foods. We're not here to talk about that today. We've covered that in another
Yes.
topic. The huge, and I mean, it's not huge, it is massive problem that we have all over the world is unrecognized emotional issues that are making people sick as dickens. And honestly, this is where I see the tremendous opportunity, the tremendous golden era that we really are on the precipice of coming into for human development and for treating real causes of diseases, is understanding the effects that emotions have on these bodies. And it goes back to to where we started our conversation today, and that is understanding emotional, the expression of emotion, that it is a universal language, and more importantly, understanding the energy behind that expressed emotion.
I
There
mean,
are
where there's a will, there's a way. The guy that founded EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, actually his wife was sick with cancer, I believe. And it
Right.
is through his research that he kind of, well, We all have these kind of nerve endings and certain type of tapping in certain places and kind of reprogramming the mind, you know, like speaking to what the problem is. And although that problem is there, this is what you would like the outcome to be. And what you're doing is you're sending messages to the brain to look at things differently. Now, just, you know, before we step into that, a reminder to everyone that what this show is called, Your Health is Your Choice.
Yeah,
Right.
and
And the
that's a
thing is,
God's
you
honest
do
truth.
have choices out there. That's the
That's
whole
right.
point of this show and all the shows that I've been doing now for the last 12 years. You do have a choice. We don't always have a choice of what happens to us. We do have a choice and what we can do about it. And more and more and more today are the solutions being presented to you. So don't knock something you don't understand. Be open and willing to learn. Try it out for yourself, then make a judgment on it, but not
Yes.
before you can see evidence of it. And
Amen to
EFT
that,
is
sister.
wonderful for that because EFT is something you can do anywhere, anytime,
It
anytime.
does not require anyone's permission. It doesn't require a prescription, and it doesn't require any advanced degree. It is very simple. And if people, I'm going to make an invitation to you just right off the bat. If anybody wants to come to our website, we offer EFT training for free. There's
Wonderful.
no cost to it at all. My former medical assistant, Ashley Stanley, who is has story after story after story, to tell about the power of EFT in her own life. I mean, I get emotional just talking about it. She has so many wonderful stories to tell about how she uses it. And if you listen to Ashley, you'll see, you'll hear exactly who she is. There's no hiding that, that she's had a rough upbringing. But the wonderful thing about EFT is how unbelievably powerful it is, and you don't have to have any kind of education
No,
at all
it's
in
just a
order to,
technique.
it is. Listen, she's as qualified as anybody. She's probably more qualified to help people deal with difficult emotional situations, because I'll guarantee you that girl's seen it. I mean, she the stories, oh my gosh, she had it rough. I mean, she grew up rough. Her mother died in prison for killing two different men that she caught in the act of abusing Ashley herself. And and Ashley can remember the first time that this happened. She was four, four. The graphic description that she can describe as a 4-year-old of the horrible, just stuff you can't, they wouldn't even show it on TV. Certainly wouldn't even, I don't even sure they'd show it in the movies. It was so, so horrid, the things that have happened to her. But
And
she,
right on, Mum. I mean, why is she in jail for defending her child? Right. You know, there's
well, there's
that's
no.
another story, and that's another system that's broken.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me about it. So, listen, I really want to share a couple of stories with you about EFT. The first story is 100% my own. In 2020, in the midst of the pandemic and dealing with the emotional issues that come along with being blacklisted for employment in multiple states, I worked for the better part of a year to find employment after being blacklisted in Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, Missouri, North Texas, New Mexico, and Illinois that I am aware of.
Just because you were bringing an alternative into your healing.
Well, it wasn't just alternative things. There were some real genuine patient safety issues that were causing injury and even death to patients. And I was foolish enough
To speak
to
out.
raise my voice and say, "Hey, there's a problem here, and we can solve it. This is how." And that was massively unwelcome. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me! We have to choose here between making a living and protecting
And
our
doing harm,
patients.
going against your oath, right?
There's a problem here."
Yes,
Yes,
yes, yes.
and I said, "That's not that that rises to the level of criminality," and I simply refused to be a part of that and was punished severely for it. Continue to be punished for it actually today. That's another story if you want to hear it. But No, suffice it to say that after spending the better part of my adult life getting educated to be a reasonable physician, to provide good service to my patients, I was punished for it. And that's a little tough. Most everybody that goes into medicine does it as an emotional decision because we want to make a difference. Everybody goes in with rose-colored glasses on saying we're gonna save the world and stamp out disease, and there's a lot of people that are trying to resolve their own pain, their own emotional problems, their own physical disease that wind up in medical school as a way of trying to help other people to deal with their own pain. It's as common as dirt in medicine. And I was one of those people. And then to be rejected by that same system for doing what I pledged to do to begin with was very, very painful. And it left me questioning a whole lot of things about my life. And 2020 was tough. It was difficult on everyone. And thank God for so many wonderful people in this space who took to the airwaves, did exactly what you've been doing for a long, long time, opening up Zoom, putting on the calls, teaching people some do-it-yourself emotional modulation techniques. And I came across EFT, and I was fascinated by the stories that they were telling. And I put it to use in my own life, and I felt a shift. I'm like, I feel better when I do this. I'm not anxious. I'm not as angry. I'm not as upset. I could sleep better. And so I said, wow, I really need to learn some more about this. And so I dug in, started reading, took some mini courses and so forth that people were putting on, and was like, well, this is really neat. I like this. And I had been around, acupressure, and had experienced some relief from some of these modalities. And so it kind of fit well that the EFT into some of those things because we're tapping on the same meridian points that we would be either pushing on or sticking needles into. So as I dug into this, one of the things that I learned about was is the many emotional traumas that are inflicted upon us as children, mostly unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. But one of the things that can leave a big emotional mark on a baby is early childhood separation from your mother. And it was no family secret that that had happened to me when I was 6 months old. My mother was ill. She was hospitalized for 8 months. I got shipped off to my grandparents in Oklahoma, and was raised. My sister and I both lived there for I think it was about 8 months, the whole 8 months, and then family was reunited, and we all went on our merry way. And it was no family secret at all. This happened. We knew it was a big deal. It's just part of our family history. So one day after having used this EFT technique and reading some of those things about it, I was up early one morning. My family was all asleep, and I was sitting there in a chair, just kind of thinking about things. And I thought, hey, I wonder what happens if I tap on that. Here I am all alone. It's dark, it's quiet. I'll just go ahead and tap on this. And so all I did was sit down and say, listen, despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. I love and accept myself. Despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I love and accept myself, and I'm okay. Despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I had this cry that came out of me, Sarah Troy. It started in my belly button and it came out. And I cried so hard. I'm here, I'm 50, 51 years old. And I cried so hard, I thought I was going to die. And it went on and on and on for 10 minutes. I cried so I couldn't catch my breath. My chest hurt, my belly hurt. I'm shaking, I'm sweating.
Your
I
throat
have
swells.
never, oh, I had never experienced such a, and I'm just doing this saying, despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. It was the craziest experience of my life. And I'm like, it finally, after 10 minutes, it finally quit. And I just sat there in stunned silence, wondering what in the world just happened here. This is crazy. I'm not doing this again. That was no. I'm not doing, no way. I don't have anything to do with that. So I didn't, for 2 months, I didn't do anything about it. I'm like, that was a little freaky, and I didn't like it. So I'm not going back. 2 months later, I'm sitting there in that same chair again, early in the morning. It's quiet, dark. Everybody else is asleep. And I thought, wonder what happens if I do that again. Despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. Love and accept myself. Despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. Love and accept myself. Despite my early childhood, here it comes again. It happened a second time. I cried so hard, I thought I was going to die. My chest hurts. I'm sweating. I'm shaking. I can't catch my breath. I genuinely, again, thought I was going to die. I'm like, this is absent. 5 minutes. 5 minutes, it quit. And again, I'm sitting there saying, this is nuts. What in the world is going on? I'm just riveted now. I'm like, and like, is this going to just keep happening? I'm not doing that again. No. 2 weeks later, I'm back in the same chair doing it again. Just, I mean, curiosity at this point, it has got me completely wrapped up in what in the world is this? And so here I am, 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting there in the chair, going, okay, despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. Love and accept myself. Despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. Love and accept myself. Despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. Love and accept myself. Despite my early childhood separation from my mom, I'm okay. Love and accept myself. Hello, what's going on here? Despite my early childhood, I mean, do all the spots. I do them again. Nothing. Bubkis. Nothing happens. And I'm like, well, that's kind of crazy. What happened to all that, nuts and stuff?
You spent it.
Yeah, apparently so, because I took a couple of big deep breaths and I just sat there in that chair, and I'm like, something's missing. And this twisting sensation, this like a needle or a knife, something twisting in my chest that I had carried around for 51 years was now gone and has not been back from that day to this. It is gone. And I'm like, oh, this here's a big deal, kids. This is a big deal. And shortly after that was in January of 2021. And in, I don't know, March, April, May, something like that, I had a guy in my office that, when we, he was there for, some hearing loss. And I, as part of my exam, you look at his ear, you look at his nose, you pull out a tongue blade and go to look in the guy's mouth. I pull out a tongue blade and hold it up, and this guy goes crazy. I mean, he starts gagging and screaming and hollering, and not just, a little bit. We're talking full on standing up, hands in the air, red in the face, sweating. I'm like, whoa, look, I threw that stick away, and I said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. It's okay. And so he's like, it's all good, man. And it took him like a full couple of minutes to kind of quit. And I said, okay, well, let's go do your hearing test. And so I walk him down the hall to my hearing booth, and the hearing booth is a testing room with a little window, and then we'd sit on the in the other room and do the hearing test, and his wife is sitting just off to my left, and I'm doing the hearing test, and I said to his wife, I kind of talked out of the corner of my mouth. I said, "What's going on with that thing?" She said, "Doc, If he had known that you were going to try and look in his mouth, he never would have come today. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, he was abused when he was a kid, and he's well aware of it. But that was that gagging kind of became his self-defense against the abuse. And it has kind of spilled over into an anxiety compensation sort of thing. And anytime that that anybody gets close to his mouth, he'll just go crazy. He's never been to the dentist, can't go. She said he was involved in a road rage incident a few years back, and he got so worked up that he had to pull off to the side of the road and gag for like 25 minutes. I'm like, holy cow, this is a huge problem. She said he's been in cognitive behavioral therapy for 40 years, has not been able to get beyond any of this stuff. He is just dying with it. And I said, well, you don't think he'd spend a little time working with me, would you? She said he'd do anything. I said, okay, great. So we went over his hearing test, and there really wasn't much to do except monitor it. And I asked him, I said, listen, talk to me about that gagging thing. He said, well, he said, I was abused when I was a kid. I know it. It's not like it's a secret or anything. He said, I've been in cognitive behavioral therapy for 40 years trying to get rid of it. And he said, not a lick of progress. And I said, would you try something with me? And he said, sure. I realize I'm just dumb ear, nose, and throat guy, pick boogers for a living. But no, but I said, if you really want to try it, I said, I just came across something really cool. And I said, if you got 2 minutes, we'll just try it. He said, okay. I said, bang your hands together like this and just say, despite my gagging, I'm okay. He said, by my gagging, I'm okay. I said, bang on top of your head like this. And I said, despite my gagging, I'm okay. He said, despite my gagging, okay. And he starts to laugh a little bit. He says, what in the world are we doing? I said, and he giggled. And I said, I think you're winning. I said, just keep going. So we went through all the different tapping spots and just kept saying this very, very simple mantra. Despite my gagging, I'm okay. Love and accept myself. We did it two times, and I said, take a big deep breath. And he said, I said, no. Take a big deep breath. We just sat there and just kind of looked at one another for what seemed like an eternity. But using the technique, you just allow things to kind of dissipate a little, and you allow some of that energy to just settle down. And after this uncomfortable 30 seconds, I said, are you ready? And he said, for what? And I reached in the drawer, and I pulled out a tongue blade, and I said, how you doing? I just held it up and looked at him, and he just looked at me as calm as can be, and he said, I'm okay. And I said, open up. I scoot my little chair over there, and I stick my stick in his mouth, and I push down on his tongue, and I said, how you doing? I'm okay, doc. So I mashed down on the back of that tongue of his, and I did it hard enough that I made the stick crack, and I did it on purpose. And I said, how you doing now? Okay, huh? Threw the stick in the trash. His wife literally falls out of the chair, fell out of the chair, had to catch herself on the ground. And she said, what in the world did you just do? She said, I've been going to church for 40 years and never seen a miracle like that. And I said, it's not my miracle. And I said, I didn't do it. We just applied a tool. And I said, I put the key in the lock, but he turned the lock and opened that door. And that was it. 40 years of cognitive behavioral therapy solved a problem in 2 minutes. 2 minutes with EFT. And I was blown away. And then we started using it in the clinic more and more often after that for all kinds of problems. So, people having difficulty swallowing pills was about as common a problem as you could shake a stick at. And 2 minutes, we never never failed except for one patient, and that was her identity. I can't take pills, and she didn't really want to have anything to do with it. And so we had a treatment failure. Taught me something very important about EFT. This is not a pill. This is not a this is not a needle. It's not a knife. It's not something that we can do involuntarily to someone. It's something that their intent, they're in control of the whole situation. But if their intent is to change their emotional response, I am convinced that EFT allows people to put some space in between the person and that emotion, and gives them enough space to decide, how do I want to respond to this? And instead of simply identifying, being so close to the problem that you can't see any other alternative, I think it really kind of creates some space between us and what we're emotionally focused on, or identified with, and saying, maybe there's a different way that we can respond to this. And it's permanent. We called this guy back a year later, because I mean, this guy was he instantly became famous in my clinic, and my front desk gal called him back a year later, just out of pure curiosity, and said, "Listen, we do 1 year follow-ups for any patient that we've seen to make sure that there wasn't anything else to be done." She said, "I gotta know, how are you doing with that gagging thing?" And he said, "It's still gone. It doesn't come back. And the only time that it comes back is when my wife comes back." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Apparently, she married me because she was going to solve this problem. I was her project." And he said, "For a long time, I knew something wasn't right in our marriage. And as soon as that problem was solved, guess what happened to our marriage?" I'm like, "Oh, this is terrible." He said, "No, doc." He said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "You solved two problems for me, not one, two, that same day." And he said, "The only time the gagging comes back is when she comes back around." And I thought, I don't know whether I helped or hurt, but no, it kind of goes to it goes to tell the story that we're living out lives of unconscious emotional responses. And when we start to live consciously, when we start to decide how we're going to respond emotionally to the things in our lives, things work out for our benefit in amazing ways. And this guy was not unhappy about the dissolution of his marriage. He understood now that he simply that time was spent doing something other than having the kind of relationship that he really wanted. It was spent trying to solve this problem. His entire marriage and 40 years had been spent focused on the gagging issue, for crying out loud.
And when that
Yeah,
wasn't them, what else did they
that,
have?
yeah, exactly. And it was a fascinating experience. Point is this: why are we not teaching this? And the bottom line is that it just doesn't fit the cash flow model. And that's the painfully honest truth, is that it just doesn't fit the treatment model. Somebody made a hell of a living off of that guy. Excuse my language, but this is just just wrong.
Well,
No,
the other
to
thing is
withhold
it
this
works.
information.
It works. That's the
Right.
point. And you, how many people have gone through this operation, tried this drug, tried that therapy? And an awful lot of therapies, you go into it feeling there's definitely something wrong with me, right? And
Yeah,
instead of,
there's
and
nothing
really
wrong
all
with
it
any of
is,
us.
no, it's a rewiring issue, right? And
Right.
it's like by, we often say is that be careful how you speak to yourself because your body will respond, your psyche will respond. Well, we EFT, by clicking on each of those mediums, you are redirecting the brain to hear what it is that you're saying and re-channel what you were afraid of, what you were anxious of, what you were scared of, or what is causing an issue, to say you're not needed anymore. We're in a different channel right
Right.
now. You're switching
Right. It
stations.
gives you it gives you alternatives.
Yes.
And you start to see what some of those alternatives are. You know, if anybody's listening to this thinking that you're broken, you're not.
Right.
Okay. You are a perfect creation of the a reflection of the Creator himself, and you are not broken. There is nothing wrong with you. What you have is a program that's running in your head that is a survival-based program that has served you well. And you know how we know that? It's because you're here,
Yeah.
okay? If you don't survive long enough to hear this story or any other story that may help you get to the next level in your life, then it's all for naught. You have to survive first. And I am 100% convinced that that this life is not at all what it appears to be. It is trial period. It's a play. It is a it
Kindergarten.
is a it's a school. Yes, exactly. But no, but there's a lot of dangerous things here. Okay. It's like kindergarten with guns and knives and
And
fireworks
hate.
and
Ugh.
hatred and all the rest of this stuff. And our walk through this life, regardless of whether you have a spiritual belief system or not, is a spiritual path. And this tool that we're talking about using today is simply a tool to help you on that path to decide how you want to respond to it at an emotional level. Your emotions and the expression of those emotions is your spirit. The energy that is behind those emotions is your spirit, and your spirit has dominion over your body only if we exercise it. And if we don't exercise dominion over our mind, over our body, then it's going to run on the default pathway, and that is one of survival. That means that we fight, hide, or run away, or scream for help from anything that we perceive as threatening our physical existence. And it's your body and your creator's way of programming you for the opportunity, not the guarantee, but the opportunity to survive long enough that you can have some spiritual awakening and figure out what it is that you're really here to do, to experience, to
Exactly.
see, to learn, to help, to participate in. I am 100% convinced we are not bodies with souls. When you speak that way, the natural language of our bodies and our souls, our spirit, is one of an inverted pyramid style of communication. And for anybody who's listening, the inverted pyramid style of communication is an old-fashioned way of communicating the most important thing first. And we did that because in the days of newspapers, where we had limited space on on a page, we would edit that story from the bottom. And so the most important thing was at the top. The least important things were down that story. And then your editor could come in and cut that story from the bottom and get the most information out there in the least amount of space. Our own natural language functions the exact same way. In fact, the inverted pyramid style of writing is not a new idea. It's as ancient as we are. Okay, it's a reflection of what we say first is the most important thing. And you have to watch your language, because if you say that I'm a body with a soul, you are saying that the body is the most important thing and
Exactly.
that the soul is second. And natural language respects your right to experience life however you want to do it. And if you want to experience life as a body with a soul inside of it, it will allow you to do that. However, the rules, the characteristics, and the patterns of natural language say that yes, you can speak word salad all you want. You're more than welcome to speak word salad. However, when you put your words, when you put the words, the meanings, the emotions, and the emotional energy behind it in a cohesive, a communicable way that conveys a meaning that aligns itself with our own natural language, then miracles start to happen. And those miracles are dependent on following the rules, patterns, and characteristics of our natural language. And the, you know, the plain, hard truth of the matter is, we are not bodies with souls. We are spirits. We are souls having a human experience.
We're just
And
renting this
when
body while we're here.
it's exactly, and when you recognize it the way that it really is, that means that your spirit now has dominion over
Yes.
that body. The spirit becomes the most important thing. It's not the body, it's the spirit. And
And
the
the most
spirit gets to
intelligent
determine.
thing with the most
Oh, my.
clarity, most wisdom. This is why I always
Exactly.
say the soul is the wisdom. It is your compass. It will guide you to your heart into truth and to your spirit into action for your mind to know what it needs to know, when it needs to know it, when to have the clarity. If we only come from the brain with all the data that we have in there, we do not have all the information. What we're lacking is how to use this data. How to
Well,
use this intelligence in a way that actually is meaningful and does ignite the heart, soul, and spirit together. It's feeling the knowledge, not just thinking the knowledge.
and you know, these bodies that we live in are just the, you know, they're just the equipment, okay? It's the cable. It's not the energy in the cable.
The vessel,
And
yeah.
you can't hook a cable up to your house and expect to have electric lights on. Unless it's energized,
Yes.
okay? And our bodies, the same way, are not, they aren't put to their highest and best use unless we consciously take
Yes.
control of the energy that, that animates these pieces of meat that we're living inside of. And EFT allows us to, is a tool. Not the
Yes.
only tool. It
Nope,
is not
many
the be
tools
all. It
there.
is not the end all. There's an old saying that says, if the only, the only tool in your box is a hammer, everything's a nail. And I have worked so hard my entire life, not only in medicine, but outside of medicine, is to use and collect as many different tools as we
Yes.
possibly can, because the right tool for the job is the right tool for the job. And you know, so EFT is not anywhere close to being the only tool out there. It is a simple, rudimentary tool. It's like a hammer when you're building a house. Okay, can you build a house with a hammer? No, but you need a hammer to build a house. Okay, and without a hammer, building a house is much more difficult. Can you do it without a hammer? Well, yeah, sure enough, you can. You can build a concrete house. You can build a foam house. You can build all kinds of things without a hammer. But no, but everybody's going to make fun of you if you don't have a hammer. Okay, you got to at least look the part if you're going to build a house, you know. But no, but EFT is like a hammer to a house builder. It's just one of many tools, and it's a very, very useful one. It's one that, it's so useful, you keep it right there on your hip. And the second that you need to make an adjustment to something, you pull it out, you make that adjustment, and you put it back in the you put it back in your
Yeah.
tool pouch.
I have
So
another an
I just
analogy for it, like Wi-Fi, right? Wi-Fi we don't see. We know it's fiber optic. It's up in the air, right? It's not connected. You have to be near something that picks it up and then channels it in a direction. And you can have slow Wi-Fi, fast Wi-Fi, extra fast Wi-Fi, right? And it will go like sending an email, sending a text, doing what we're doing with Zoom right now. It's through Wi-Fi. What we're doing with EFT is sending the message through the Wi-Fi to our brain to actually receive the right data, the right information. We look at Wi-Fi and we don't question it. Nothing's plugged in. Yes, we have this device here that's plugged in to keep the motor going, but the Wi-Fi itself is not plugged in. So why is EFT any differently? The Wi-Fi is energy, right? We are energy. And by redirecting that energy in our bodies, in our minds, we're just assisting our body on where it needs to put its energy in order to be healing or soothing. The first
Right.
time I was exposed to tapping, I was quite wired. I would say I was up there on a 12, kind of really rah, out there. And this woman had me do some tapping, and I couldn't believe how I came down to a 3 or 4 and
Right.
how I calmed down. I absolutely love tapping in the shower. Because water is a conduit and tapping in the shower is absolutely wonderful. It kind of extends it even more. The beauty of us is you're driving, you're frustrated with the driving. One hand can hold the wheel, but the other one is doing the tapping. You're in a
Exactly
board
right.
meeting. If you can't do it over your face, you can tap, as you said, around the thumb area. You can tap in other areas. And it can still have a very good effect. It's learning the techniques of how you do it, but then actually learning how to use it for yourself in the best way that it's going to work for you. But it's accessible to you at
Right.
all times. And that's the beauty of it. And it does work because, as you said, you've reprogrammed. You've
Right.
reprogrammed. So what you are saying, and although this happened, I am okay and I love myself, you're telling it that I am not that anymore. You can even add to the adage, I wish to feel da 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 da.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly
Great
right.
pain
So no, so
medication,
maybe.
stress medication, a
Right.
great redirecting your thoughts when they're running wild, calming. It's just so good. And you can teach children to do this very, very early. So
Oh,
when
love
they
it.
get
Love it
frustrated
with
and everything
kids.
else, and they're tapping away, it's just like teaching them yoga and meditation. These are techniques they can learn very, very young and take through them for the rest of their lives. Why are we
Right.
waiting until they're adults? Children are not
Right.
stupid.
No. They, one of the, one of the other, really poignant things that happened when I, started using this technique, as an ear, nose, and throat guy, one of the most common things that we do is operate. We do a lot of pediatric cases. And so, we're taking kids, putting tubes in their ears, we're doing tonsils, we're doing, clipping tongues, all the rest of this stuff. These are very, very, very common things. You just put yourself in the diaper of a 2-year-old, okay? And they wake you up early. They take you to the hospital. You sit on a bed. They take your clothes off, put and give you this silly looking hospital gown. You're hungry. You're tired. You're sitting on your mom's lap, and then they come in and they pick you up and walk you back to a very cold, very bright operating room with a whole bunch of machines beeping. Everybody's wearing a mask. And then they lay you down on a table, hold you down, and put a gas mask on you, and mash it to your face until you act goofy and pass out. Sounds like a blast, doesn't it?
Yes. Well,
Oh,
my daughter did do that. She had the ears
oh,
put in, and
listen,
fortunately she was five, but my son had the tonsillectomy that went wrong three times. Three
right,
times.
exactly. And as children, you bring a child into a surgical environment. It's intimidating for anybody, and I just can't imagine how terrifying it would be to a 2-year-old kid, to bring him into that environment. So, very shortly after I experimented with this and had these experiences, I started bringing it to the operating room, and immediately the anesthesia people said, "What in the world are you doing? Are you like hypnotizing these kids or something?" When we put a kid through gas anesthesia, the initial response to somebody putting a mask on your face is to fight and go crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they sort of pass out, and then they go through this what we call stage two anesthesia, where they just become completely disinhibited, and they just go crazy. And many times when we were doing EFT on these kids, number one, they stop being so terribly upset. Instead of screaming and yelling all the way down the hallway, I would actually pick the child up, hold them with one hand, and tap right on top of their head with the other, and just say, "Listen, you're going to be okay. Everything's okay." And I would maintain that position with that child. I'd lay them down on the table, and continue to tap on their head while anesthesia came in from this way and put their mask on and took that kid down. We told them, "Everything's okay. You're going to be okay. We're going to put a mask on you. Everything's going to be fine." Did it work every time? No. Some of these kids, they jumped off the cliff, and they weren't coming back. But a massive number of these children, when we would do this technique, it wouldn't even hit stage two. Like, my anesthesia people were going crazy. What in the world is this? And I said, "This is the craziest technique that I came across." The unfortunate thing is, some of the benzodiazepines that they give these kids, just give them a lollipop, give them a sucker, give them a drink of this stuff, and they can do it and walk away, and it doesn't take any time. EFT takes a little bit of time and a little bit of commitment, but once you get good at it, it works very, very fast. Does it still take longer than giving them benzodiazepines? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, but when you give kids benzodiazepines, for the next couple of days, they have horrendous nightmares. And I mean horrendous nightmares almost universally. Well, you tell me, would you rather have your kid just go down easy? Well, and take another couple of minutes, doing a little EFT technique, or do you want to have him go down fast and hard and spend the next 2 days, with a screaming child with horrendous nightmares? Take your pick.
Exactly.
That's really what it was, what it came down to, and it became vividly obvious, that there was a giant hole here to be filled, and so we just did it, and. The last case that I ever did in one of these local hospitals here was a 3-year-old kid we were going to do a tonsillectomy on, and the anesthesia people, they had nurse anesthetists and they had head anesthesia people that were full anesthesiologists. The nurse anesthetists oftentimes would do the case, but they wouldn't do the induction. They wouldn't put the kid down without an anesthesiologist in the room, which is a fairly common practice anymore. We got into the room with this 3-year-old kid, and the nurse anesthetist called for the anesthesia guys to come into the room, and we didn't see him. And I'm doing my thing. I'm tapping on this kid, this 3-year-old kid. 2 minutes go by, 3 minutes go by, 5 minutes goes by, 6 minutes goes by, 10 minutes is gone, and I'm still banging on this kid, and he isn't moving. He's just like zoned out, and everybody in the room is going, "What is going?" And they hadn't given this kid any drugs at all, none. And 15 minutes goes by. I'm still tapping. 18 minutes, still tapping. 19 minutes, still tapping. 20 minutes goes by. I'm still tapping on this kid, and he's still just sitting there staring at the ceiling, going, "Hmm." 21 minutes after we got into the room, anesthesia finally shows up. And I did that case, and the nurse and the anesthesia walks in the room. They walked out. The nurse anesthetist who started and ended that case was like, "I have never seen anything like this. This is crazy. Either this kid's just like the coolest kid ever, or this is, we have to learn this." And I said, "Well, I think you better learn it. But I'm not sticking around for this nonsense anymore. I've got other things that I need to do. But I'll circle around. I'll be back to teach it." But it is just unbelievably powerful, especially with children. They don't know to resist this, and they just all they know is that they're upset. I've used it tremendously with with both of my sons, and both of them know how to do this technique, and both of them will tell you is unbelievably powerful to help with anxiety and fear, and these are children. They don't see the world as we do, in any new experiences, like the caveman, which we were just watching The Croods the other night. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, I have actually. Yes.
Hilarious, absolutely hilarious.
Sea cruise
But
too.
it demonstrates very clearly the caveman brains that we all have. Anything that's new is scary and could kill you.
How
This
did
is
we
how
evolve to get
children.
to where we are if we're constantly fearful of everything? Right? We
Well,
have to break through the
things.
fear.
Well, just like the Croods, the world changed right in front of them, and
Exactly. There was
they were
no option.
forced to. There was no option but to move forward, or to stand still and die. So that's just how life is. You could see an unseen hand pushing them along, saying, "It's time to evolve. It's time to evolve. It's time to evolve." And this other weird looking kid with the warthog mask and everything comes along and shows them fire. It's the cutest movie, but it is true. How we perceive anything new that comes along is that's not safe. It uh, you know uh,
You've been
we and that's
conditioned
our
to do so, right? That was our survival mode. But the thing is,
and it's
that
worked for millions
survival,
of years.
yes,
It's worked for a long
you know
time.
what? I call that the common sense fear. The fear of it's unknown, right? Pay attention because you don't know whether it's bad for you or not. Listen to your antennas, but still walk forward in wonderment, in exploration, because until you know otherwise, you don't know if this is dangerous or not. Just your fear needs to understand that if it is, you can react quickly, right? So it's not walking without fear. It's having that cautious, common sense fear that protects you while you're walking forward in exploration.
Well, we may remain curious,
Yes.
okay? Just curious. Just
Yes.
be curious, and a
We
tiny bit
don't
of
know what we
curiosity.
don't know until we learn
Right.
to know.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, EFT, I mean, as it said, came about from this guy whose wife was really, really sick, and then he found this, and it really, really does work. I've known about it now for about 13 or 14 years, and it's one of the things you can do anytime, anywhere. It does work. It's extremely great for when you are having a stressful time and you know that you yourself can't talk it out. You've tried the deep breathing, but no, you're still hyperventilating, and kind of taking the EFT and just, as I said, letting those numbers go down, and it really
Applying a
works.
different tool, there's
Exactly.
breath work is great, meditation is great, EFT is another tool. And so
Exactly.
maybe we should talk about the actual method itself. It's actually very, very simple. There's four parts to it, and especially if people haven't tapped before, it's really important to identify exactly what it is. The more specific we are about the emotions that we're feeling, the better this technique works. I had described the technique to a patient one time, and he said, "Doc, I went home and did that." And he said, "It didn't work." And I said, "Well, what'd you tap on?" He said, "Well, my life just stinks." And he said, "So I just tapped on my life stinks, and it, I, no miracles happened." Whoa, hold on. The more specific we are
Yes.
about the things that we're experiencing, the better it works. And so the first thing we have to do is identify as specifically as possible some unpleasant situation that we are experiencing, or alternatively something that we would like to experience, and identify it as specifically as possible. And then, really important, rating on a scale of 0 to 10. What's the intensity of that emotion? And it doesn't have to just be emotion. It can be a physical sensation as well. This works wonderfully on pain, because there is, and this is accepted fact in Western medicine, that there is an emotional component to every pain experience that we have. So we want to rate it on a scale of 0 to 10, how intense we feel that sensation, or that emotion, that feeling is. Once we get that number, either remember it or write it down, then we want to give that sensation, that emotion, a voice, and call it exactly as accurately as we possibly can. What the emotion, what the sensation, what the feeling, what the pain, what the situation is. Ashley just did a segment on resentment. Okay, so if we can identify an emotional response like resentment, we call it out loud. We give it a voice,
Yes.
and we say, even though I'm experiencing this, or resentment, despite the resentment that I'm feeling, give it a voice. Simultaneously, we tap and say, despite this, I'm okay.
Yes.
That's the release. Okay,
Yes.
we identify it. And then we give it a door to go out of. So despite the resentment that I feel about this, I'm okay. And despite that resentment, I love and accept myself. Okay, it's kind of like giving yourself a hug. That's the affirmation part of all this stuff. And there are there are a multitude of different tapping points that we can use. We teach 10, 11, 12 different tapping points as a beginning point, and you can use as many of them as you want, or you can only use one. The most important one, the most accessible one, is right here on the side of our hand. We
Your
call it
little
the karate
finger on
chop
the
point.
palm.
Yep,
Yep.
exactly. About halfway between the joint and your wrist, right there. You can tap on it with one finger, two fingers, three fingers, or you can tap both hands together, and while we simultaneously say, despite this, I'm okay. Despite this, I love and accept myself. The second really important point is right on the vertex of our scalp. The third one, the medial eyebrow, right there where the hair kind of ends for
Right,
most of us, not everybody.
the beginning point of
The
the
lateral,
eyebrow.
Exactly. In the lateral part of the eyebrow, directly
At
under
the
the
end of the
eye,
eyebrow.
directly under the pupil, right on the bony rim, under the nose, under the mouth, on the collarbone, the medial collarbone. If you can feel your collarbone starts out here and goes to here, we've got a big notch in between. On either side of that notch is the medial end of our collarbone. We can tap right on that. We can tap in our armpit. About 3 or 4 inches below the very top of our armpit, we tap in there. There are also additional tapping points. So if you're angry and you don't want to experience anger, there is a tremendous tapping point right on the bottom of our rib cage, directly from the midpoint of our clavicle across the nipple and right down to the lower edge of our rib cage, right over your liver or right over your spleen and stomach on the other side. Boy, if you're angry, try tapping on that for just a little bit and say, despite my anger, I'm okay. If you didn't use any other tapping spot other than that when you're angry, it will blow your mind what happens when you use that tapping point on anger. I had a friend I've known for 20 some odd years, and he's an old military guy. He's about 6 foot 6, weighs 150 pounds, soaking wet kid from East Kentucky. And great big deep voice, skinny as a rail, funny guy, just about the best natured guy. But you can, he has spent a lot of time in the military, and I know he'd struggled with some post-traumatic stress disorder and some of the rest of these things. And I asked him one time, I had him on the phone, and I said, do you know, he had just gotten out of the hospital, barely survived liver failure. And he had started drinking and had some other issues. And I asked him, I said, I talked to him about tapping. And I said, do you know what the most powerful emotion is? And he said, yeah. He said, I know exactly what it is, Tim. He said, it's hate. I said, no, actually it's not. Said, it's actually love, bud. But I said, maybe we should teach you to tap on that. I said, do you realize that from an energetic standpoint or from a philosophical standpoint, do you know where anger is stored in our body? And he said, no. I said, it's in your liver. He said, I think it almost killed me. I said, I think it almost did. I said, let's try this. And we tapped on that spot for just a little bit. And he said, what are we doing? And I said, I don't know. What are you feeling? He said, I think I'm going to cry. And I said, I think it's working there, boss. And he said, how do I learn more about this? And got him on some of the same resources that I was using, and then eventually started my own website. But I mean, it changed this guy's life in a matter of seconds. Seconds. And he continues to use it today, and he continues to give me a call every once in a while and say, I think you may have saved my life. He said that I was so eaten up with hatred for so many things that are just wrong in my life and wrong in the world. But he said, I'd never felt that until you told me about it. And he said, I felt it that second that we did it. He said, I got to learn more about this. He said, there's only about two people on the planet can get me to bang on my face and say, I love me. And he said, you're one of them. He said, and thank God you showed up when you did. He said, I was probably on a crash course to an early grave. And he said, that was just the most unbelievable experience. And he said, I don't know where this came from, but I'm glad it's here. So that changed my life. And I said, it changed mine too. And I said, that's why I share it. And I said, that's why when my practice partners in medicine gave me a bill, said, listen, if you want to do that crazy stuff here, you can do it, but you have to pay us to continue to work here, because we're not going to pay any of these fees that you're earning. For you to be healing all of our patients here. This is not okay. Okay.
Mind-blowing, yeah.
We'll see you later. And it was just as easy to take my medical license off the wall, put it in an envelope, and send it back to the state of Texas. And mind you, Anybody who's out there listening and wondering if, is this guy really for real? Yes, I'm for real. Here's my Texas medical license. It's S as in Sam, 4404. Okay, you can look me up. It was a clean medical license. I was not under any investigation. There were no claims. There were no lawsuits. There were no complaints. There was nothing. That was the cleanest license.
It
I
was
could you couldn't
basically
be any cleaner.
the accountants didn't like you.
Oh no. No. They actually came to me and tried to explain that that what I was doing didn't fit the right business model. And I said, well, if the business model can figure out how to make it work, that it seems to me that that's the only way that that I can keep the promise that I kept that I made a long time ago, and that was to do no harm. And to do everything that I knew how to relieve the suffering of my patients. And the needles, the knives, and the pills that we're throwing at these patients are not helping. We've done everything that our protocols, our textbooks have told us to do, and they continue to suffer. And as I would introduce solutions to my little segment of my little ear, nose, and throat thing. When as we found solutions for the cough that wouldn't go away, for the little kids with ear problems that just kept coming back and coming back and coming back, and we made the adjustments to diet, and we made adjustments to the emotional response that they were having to life, all kinds of other problems started going away. And I became unbelievably unpopular for practicing medicine in this manner, so much so that they simply said, we're not going to pay you any more money. And you, if you want to do that kind of nonsense, you got to pay us $10,000 a month. Pony up here, boss.
Why would you have
Said,
to pay them?
see you later. Well, it's the business model, dear. It's a big building. There's a lot of people, it's a very complicated process, but the point is they were controlling the money. It was a pretty good size practice, and they controlled the money. So but I've got the bill to prove it. I mean, it wasn't 10,000, $9,835 that they wanted me to pay them for the right to practice medicine in that facility under those kinds of circumstances. I said, see you later. I'll go on down the road. And no, that's
I'll
no,
go
the
on
no, the
doing what I
sad.
signed up for, which is healing people, and
Exactly.
I'll choose the way
Precisely.
that I want to do it.
Precisely. Bucky Fuller said, no, he said, don't try and change the existing system. He said, create a new system and make the other one obsolete. And I'm not convinced that we're going to make all of medicine obsolete. However, I will make this statement, and I absolutely believe it, and that is that 90% of the problems that we deal with in medicine are self-imposed issues. And about 10% we deal with are bad luck. That is not how they are perceived by our patients. It is perceived by our patients that about 10% of the problems are due to our own choices, and 90% of the problems are due to bad luck. And I just need a pill to fix it here, doc. And the bottom line is that when we make adjustments to our diet, when we make adjustments to our lifestyle, when we come to the conclusion that in fact we are not bodies with a soul, but souls or spirits having human existence, and we get the energetic alignment correct. We align ourselves with the rules, the patterns, and the characteristics of our own natural language. Things that aren't supposed to happen start to happen, and they're not miracles. They're us getting things right.
Well,
Okay,
it's
and.
universal medicine channeling through us and just showing us how to do it. As they
Right.
say, for every disease, there is a cure a few feet away. But we have exploited medicine as we've exploited so many other things in life. And if we could stop
Right.
exploiting things and rather enhance, we would actually be far better off. But yes, I mean, cancer is an 80% emotional disease, and most of
Yes.
our disease comes about from dis-ease in our life that just starts
Right.
breaking down our body. So
Yeah.
this is why your health is your choice. What are you doing nutritionally? What are you doing emotionally? What are you doing to help you stay on the trajectory track of enlightenment and higher consciousness, and not kind of going down that other rabbit hole of giving in and handing yourself over to the medical practices that, it's a drug, it's an op, it's a, or it's a, or they write their hands off you and kind of tell you they can't do anything for you
Yeah,
anyway.
sorry, we can't do anything for you. And not and if you've got someone out there that's listening to this and they have heard that, there's two corners that that you automatically need to start looking around, and that is the food that we're eating and the emotions, the thoughts that we're thinking, the emotions that we're feeling, and saying, is there a possibility? Is there a possibility? Remain curious. Is there a possibility that that there's something that I'm eating contributing to the problem, or is there some emotional some unrecognized emotional program that's playing out here that may be contributing to the problem, or worse yet, are both of those things playing a role? And so the good news is there are a lot of people out here talking about this.
Yes.
Bad news is they are being actively suppressed, and don't let anyone kid you. And if you
No,
want to check
it's a
that out,
very big thing in
go on.
No, America is very big at doing that, of
Oh,
even
yes.
jailing people, and we've even lost people in various practices because it does go against that grain. And to say that this
Absolutely.
is wild and untrue, unfortunately, there are documentations of it being true. And so what we need to do is have so many voices
That's right.
in
That's right.
harmony saying, I'm using this as my free will. You don't have the power over me. And then we make it a part of the norm. And then they're going to have to adjust the way they conduct medicine.
No,
So
that's not likely to happen, but no. But
not anytime soon, but it all has to start somewhere.
that's exactly right. And claim our even to the point of having to claim our constitutional right to speak our mind and to be able to speak our experiences as we have experienced them. And in fact, we do have that constitutional right. Until the Constitution gets suspended, we will continue to claim that right. And I know that that those constitutional rights are being suppressed, and I've got a court case to prove it. When I was fired and blacklisted in Oklahoma, it was very obvious that there was something going on here. Why are all these places having advertising for people to do what I do? And I couldn't even get an interview. I'm like, I got a clean license, guys. I don't have pending lawsuits. I don't have any issues with getting hospital privileges because I'm clean. I do what I do. I do it well. I don't hurt people. All of a sudden I started getting denied hospital privileges, and I'm like, for what? And they said, we don't have to tell you. I said, yeah, you have to tell somebody. There's this thing called the National Practitioners Data Bank out there, and they track these kinds of things. And it holds me accountable. It holds you accountable as a hospital for this kind of nonsense. I was denied hospital privileges in two different hospitals before I started to figure out, oh, this is kind of an ugly thing, and it's illegal as the dickens to blacklist somebody from employment. And so I challenged him. I challenged him in court, and I said, you can't do this. Immediately that lawsuit was dismissed by a local judge. And he said, no, they have a First Amendment right to say anything that they want to. And I said, with First Amendment rights come responsibilities and comes accountability as well. And I said, you can't just dismiss this out of hand. And so we took it all the way to the Oklahoma Supreme Court. All the way to the Supreme Court. It kept getting turned down all the way, and we challenged it all the way to the Oklahoma Supreme Court. Guess what happens at the Oklahoma Supreme Court? The Oklahoma Supreme Court says, guy has a 14th Amendment right to bring lawsuit against people, and he has the right to provide evidence and to call witnesses and all the rest of this stuff. They sent it back to the local court. Local court says, oh yeah, okay, great. So we have to listen to you. So we issued some subpoenas, showed up in court. All those subpoenas got they objected to them. The judge sustained all those objections, so we couldn't we weren't allowed to bring any call any witnesses and ask them any questions. I even showed up in court, and they called me as a witness. The defense objected to it. Judge sustains them. Excuse me? You, I just, I, this is my lawsuit. I have the right to
Yeah,
bring
exactly.
to no, not in Oklahoma, no ma'am.
Well, I mean,
And
that I've
no, it
heard,
gets
I
better.
heard.
Listen, it gets better. Not only was the lawsuit dismissed, they said you lose. Now you get to pay their legal fees. The defense actually came in and said, no, we don't want just our legal fees. We want to sanction this guy. We want to sanction him for bringing the lawsuit. Guess what? Judge gave it to him, $150,000 sanction. Not only did I lose the lawsuit, I was sanctioned $150,000 for bringing such a thing to this end. And the judge said, flat out said, "Listen, you bring a lawsuit and you don't bring any evidence, we're going to sanction you." I'm like,
You didn't
lady.
let me get up
You
there to
didn't
get
let me
the
bring it.
evidence. Yes.
Exactly. This is how far this whole thing has gone. We're down to we're down to suppressing the information using court systems. This is now case law in the state of Oklahoma that physicians don't even have the right to object to people to being blacklisted. That's where
Yeah.
we're at, Sarah. I
Well,
mean, this is frightening. And
I've done so many shows on the system over there, and it's really quite scary.
Oh,
And
it's beyond scary.
it's all extremely corrupt and incompetent and out for a totally different agenda, and it's not to really bring about the right justice. So, the system all the way across the board has to change, and it's only going to change when there's a massive amount of EFT of I've got to
Yeah.
cut the crap.
No,
I
the
know.
system, the system will never change. What we have to do is we have to rewrite the system, and we have to go upstream of all of this nonsense and take responsibility and accountability for taking control of your own health
Exactly.
and recognize, and I thank you so much for for the opportunity to come and tell my story because it is a little unbelievable.
Yeah.
And but I kept pushing because I'm like, you can't. This, if I go out and tell this story without having a court document to refer back to, now we have court documents that clearly violate somebody's 14th Amendment rights to bring suit. You don't have those 14th Amendment rights as as someone who objects to the way things were by God done around here, boy. And what's
Can you go back
fascinating.
to the Supreme Court for support?
Oh, it gets better, okay? Because I'm just waiting for this happened last year, and I'm just waiting for people to knock on my door and say, "Hey, you owe us. We want our money." And I'm like, "Well,
Sue me.
come on across that Red River." No, they don't have to sue me. All they have to do is bring that charge order across that state line, I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and take something from me? In fact, I told him, I said, why don't you bring your charge order down here? And I said, here's my bank account. Here's the bank that I use. Here's the account number. Here's the names and stuff on it. I need you guys to come across and I need you to take something from me. Because at that point in the ballgame, now you have denied me property. And we'll go to federal court and see what the feds have to say about it. Oddly enough, ain't never heard a word.
Yeah, you play
So,
chess with them. So
yes, ma'am.
now we're obviously going to have you back on again in the future. But let people know how they can get hold of you and where they can learn about EFT from your site or join one of your sessions there.
And they are more than welcome to come over to www.docofunlock.com and they can go over to our services section and sign up for the EFT program. There is absolutely no cost to it at all. There's a few lectures on how to do it, how to use it. You'll hear my stories. You'll hear Ashley's stories. She is I will tell you that, she, I think this is why she's on this planet, is to teach EFT. If you want to learn EFT from someone who truly has a gift for being able to communicate with anybody at any level, and really feel the genuine love and concern coming right through that computer screen. Ashley Stanley is the young lady that that you need to connect with. I love to tell the story. I'm the front guy to go out and tell the story. You really want to feel what EFT is all about. You go tap with Ashley, and she will take you through some very brief tapping sessions, like 8 or 10 minutes every week. She puts up a new video, and she'll pick a different topic. She has the most fascinating life. And if you think you got problems, you don't even hold a candle to Ashley. The difficulties that she has overcome in a lifetime and continues to work through some of those problems will truly make your problems melt right in front of you. And she's still standing, and she's not just standing, she's moving ahead, and she is providing a ministry out there that is truly, truly humbling. And we are
It sounds
working
like
at,
I need to be interviewing her. Let her
oh,
share her
you do.
story. So,
Listen,
okay.
unquestionably,
Yeah, connect her
I
up.
really, I really want you to have her on your program, because she truly has a talent for getting to the heart of this modality. And she has made it, her, I guess her mission to making a difference in the world,
She's
because
found her
she has
meaningful purpose. It's her calling,
unquestionably.
and this is her instrument to play.
Right. No,
Right?
that's exactly right. So we'll get you hooked up with Ashley. You will truly enjoy her. She is you can feel her heart come right through the screen at you, and it so she's a blast. But Doc of Unlock, www.doc, docunlock. When you just look at it, it kind of looks a little funny, but it's docofunlock.com. You can download a book. My book is called Cracking the Caveman's Code. It encapsulates a lot of what we've talked about here. Puts it in very, very plain language. But truly today, you need to go over and sign up for Ashley's program, and let her walk you through and develop a relationship with her. She is also in the process right now of putting together what we call the Personal Assault Recovery Protocol. It is a program that was specifically designed to help people work through personal traumas, personal assaults, whatever. She will tell her story about that program, and then she and I will teach the course as we go along. So you got a ton to talk about with that girl. She's great.
Yeah,
She's
great.
just
I look forward
wonderful.
to it.
Oh,
And
I
you know,
no.
tapping is the way, folks. Once you've got the routine down of it, as I said, you can address any situation at any time, anywhere, and that tapping will be just be able to shift you into a different direction. All right. And from that direction, you've already obliterated the other one. And so it's just such a simple tool. It really is, and it works. So thank you so much again for being here. No doubt you will be back again in the future. There's still more to talk about. And just to realize, folks, that there is other options out there. Your health is your choice. There are so many options out there for you. Do your own research, take your own journey, take control of your own health by your choices. Be willing to explore, to open up to what they are. Immerse yourselves in them, and you will see a difference in your own health. Stop handing yourself over blindly to the medical system that half the time doesn't really know what they're doing, or they're only in charge of one part of you, not the whole of you. You want holistic medicine. The reason why it's called that, because it addresses the whole of you.
All
So,
you.
whole of you, all right? Mind, body, heart, spirit, soul, the whole to fruity duty. So start with the EFT tapping. It is really quite incredible. Remember, try it in the shower. It makes it even better there. And just start your journey. So thanks, Tim, and to everyone else out there, may you
Oh,
be well.
one last thing, Sarah. Happy anniversary.
Oh,
I'm
thank you.
I so so congratulations for 12 years of being out here doing this. best wishes for the next 12, 20, 30, however long you want to do
Yes, well,
it.
as
So
long as I can still
congratulations.
see, talk, and hear, I will be doing it. But yes, it's been quite an incredible 12-year journey, and I get to meet people like you and sharing such wonderful wisdom, and this is the reason why I keep on doing it.
Good
So,
for you.
folks, find that passion, find that conviction. It will never feel like work. It will always be something that drives you forth, and then you'll be of service to others. And that's what it's all about. Until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life, and we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted, and we do hope that you enjoy the next show.